Hi, good morning. Can you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 14? 1 Corinthians 14. I'm very blessed to be your pastor and to stand with you. Joe, thank you for the little shout out this morning. I'm going to confess to you, I got up there to do our little men's retreat shotgun range, and I was praying. I was like, Lord, I can't use army stories in sermons and miss every shot. Please, Lord, please help me. And he gave me his favor. I'm going to say, Lord, help me. The Lord helped me. It was great. It was a lovely time, though. It's great to be together, and it's a wonderful thing. We're going to take just a minute. Rex, I want to thank you for bringing us a great word this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness. When was that? Yeah. So this building was built in 98. So sometime between 98 and 2007, when I think Seed and Top was built in 2008, something like that. Somewhere in there, praise the Lord. Why did you feel to read it this morning?
God's been moving on me for some time in the development of this, to pray it into existence. Pray it into a reality. Mm-hmm. And, but it's not just for me, it's for all of us.
Yeah.
And so that has been growing more and more. I need to share this with the congregation because God has called New Covenant to be the spark. And it's not me, it's New Covenant.
Yeah.
And so I finally got around to sharing that.
Man, thank you, Lord. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, let's say that the Lord, we don't know exactly, but let's say the Lord gave this vision to you in 2006 for round numbers. That's 20 years ago. It means a lot to hold on to something faithfully for 20 years. And so I want to take a minute, Rex, thank you for bringing this to us. I want to take a second also to lead us through. It's not every day that somebody comes up with a typed up prophecy that they've been holding for 20 years. Like, that's a special thing. So rather than just moving on into the sermon, I want to take just a minute, and let's be faithful to what the Bible says we're supposed to do with this kind of thing, right? And this is, Rex, you have been faithful, so I want to thank you. I'm not saying this because I don't have faith in Rex. I'm saying this because I'm your pastor, and I want us to be adhering to the Bible. Does that make sense? Okay, so this is not because I'm like, ooh, Rex said something weird. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is, let's do what Jesus said to do, okay? So here's 1 Corinthians 14. This is what it says to do in verse 26. So look with me at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Paul is the apostle writing this letter to the church in Corinth, and he is telling the church about spiritual gifts of different ways that people contribute in the body, where the Holy Spirit gives power to people and speaks through them and uses them in ways that are maybe supernatural. I'm going to use that word. So in verse 26, it says this: "What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up." Let me pause real quick. There's an expectation in the body of Christ that the preached word is going to affect us. So Acts 2:42 says that when the people came together, they devoted themselves to fellowship, prayer, the apostles' teaching, and the breaking of bread, which means communion. That means the earliest church meetings, Acts 2:42, the church just formed, the earliest church meetings that we have had those four elements, if that makes sense. So breaking of bread, so communion, the apostles' teaching. What were the apostles teaching? The resurrection of Christ, the gospel. And specifically at that time, the Old Testament scriptures, because they were writing the New Testament. So it's the Word of God, the Bible, and specifically the gospel and the resurrection, death and resurrection of Jesus is what they're talking about. And prayer, we know what prayer is, and fellowship. And fellowship is not just shotguns and fun and men's retreats. That's awesome. It's not just those things. Fellowship is the uniting in Christ to build each other up. That's what the word Paul uses. that based in our relationship in Jesus, we're moving forward. We're encouraging each other because of our relationship in Jesus that we're going to do what he said to do. That's fellowship. So when we say, hey, come to the youth retreat, it's going to be awesome. There's games, there's an ice cream machine, fellowship, fun. It doesn't do it justice because it's not just the experience. We say those things a lot. Fellowship is we're bound together because of the gospel more than our love for the Cardinals or the Blues, in that because of Jesus, I'm going to bear burdens with you. I'm going to help point you to the Lord. We're going to rise up together. When I'm low, you're going to help me, and we're going to confront sin, and we're going to pray for our families, and we're doing all the work that he said. That's fellowship. Cool, huh? All right, so with that in mind, all for the building up of the body. Verse 27, if any speak in a tongue, let there be only two, or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. What's he talking about, a tongue? Like speaking in tongues, right? And it needs to have an interpretation. He explains later, if somebody speaks in a tongue and it's gibberish and nobody understands, it doesn't help anybody. Because what's the goal? He just said, all for the building up of the body. Christ glorified, the body's built up. If those things don't happen, it's not good. So if somebody has a tongue, only two or three. Not pretend, not silliness. There needs to be an interpretation. Okay, then he goes on, verse 28. But if there's no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. Can you speak in tongues in church? Yeah. Should you say it publicly if you don't have interpretation? No. Why? It doesn't build anybody up. You can build yourself up by speaking in tongues, but you're going to make everybody else feel awkward. They're going to be like, that dude's crazy. He's saying weird things. That's not helpful unless there's an interpretation. This is a whole other sermon. We'll do that another time. All right, then he goes on. So you're speaking to yourself and God. Verse 29, let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. What do you mean by the others? The others, yeah, it's a dual meaning. The others meaning other who have a gift of prophecy, but specifically too, the church is going to weigh what's going to be said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That's a weird saying. What does that mean? Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. It means that you can exhibit self-control. So if Rex... Kind of. Good idea. But it means that if Rex comes and gives a prophecy that he's been holding for 20 years and he wrote out and he's giving this prophecy, somebody else shouldn't be like, well, yeah, I have something too, and try to be cool. Is that I'm going to control myself that think for 20 years every Sunday Rex could have given this. And then he's like, I feel in the Lord it's time. That's the subject of prophecy, subject to the prophet. It's saying, all right, Lord, what are you doing? Because here's the thing about prophecy, right? What does it do? Returns us to the covenant, reminds us of Jesus, tells us what God is doing. It's not just a future explanation, right? We tend to think of that. It's not magical or like tarot cards or something. It's not that. It's the Lord speaking and you say what he says. That's what prophets do. Why do they do that? They do that to be faithful to what God says, to the building up of the body. Well, that's cool. All right, so if that happens, then everybody else can be quiet and weigh now. Is the Lord speaking? Here's the thing, ready? Is this for us? Is this for somebody else? Is this for now? Is this for later? What is this? This place we went to, guys, was cool, in the men's retreat. I am not gonna get to the sermon. I'm just gonna let you know. The place we went to on the men's retreat was really cool. It was, wasn't it? Josh is over there like, first thing when I walked in, Josh Wampler got there ahead of me. First thing when I walked in, he goes, I'm booking it for next year. it was great. It was a kingdom place. Like they just did a good job. So when I say it was cool, it's 5,000 acres. Like they thought through the architecture a lot. It was very cabin-y, but it was well done. I mean, well done. And they had a meeting room for us We had 15 people at this retreat. We thought we would have 20 to 25. So they gave us a meeting room. The meeting room had a stage. It had a sound system the size of our sound system. The room was a quarter of this size. And it was ready to, they were going to blow the roof off that thing if we wanted to. It had two TVs, but I'm saying that because you go to some camps and it's like, hey, we forgot to build the building, so there's a tree you can go under. This place was like, they had a sound guy assigned to us. He was like, what do you need? I was like, I didn't plan. We're acoustic, like we're good. He was like, are you sure? He goes, I'm going to be here the whole time, so if you want something, you let me know, I'll do anything. That's awesome. I mean, that's kingdom, right? Because they were like, we're going to make this good. Thank you, Jesus. All right, aside. Joe, can you share with us, the vision for this place was a place where people can gather to proclaim the name of Jesus. And they have like kid stuff and they have adult things, and it's a camp. But it's made to like, we want to honor the Lord. That was the goal. And so the main guy was a surgeon. And he had some inventions. He had some money. Praise God! Money is helpful. And he had a vision for this place and was buying up parcels of land. And Joe told me the story of how the final parcel of land came together. Which I got to tell you, we came in longhorn steers, bison in a pen, elk, and then this bridge. And it was Bass Pro Shop style. Nice, right? And they're like, oh, wow, we're coming. And I knew, I was like, oh, this is, I was like, did we get the price right? Anyway, we're driving in. So that bridge, though, it marked the place. It was awesome. Joe, can you tell everybody the story behind that bridge?
They had an architectural drawing. They had the entire thing laid out in their mind. And the last plot, the owner didn't want to sell because his plan was that his children would inherit his property. According to the plan they had laid out, that plot was key because it was the entrance that you've described where the bridge was going to go. So they'd asked this homeowner, this landowner, a couple of times, and he said no. They went back to him what was to be the final time. His children were there. And they brought the plans for the entire property. And they asked him again, and he asked the question, what is your plan? And so they rolled out the plans on the table to show how everything was drafted, which included the design of the bridge. And when they rolled it out, his son said, Dad, that's the bridge that's been in my dreams. Yeah, so they sold to him.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
And so they told me that starting next week, every week, they have 1,500 kids coming every week through the whole summer to hear the gospel. So the Lord's using it, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because the Lord using it is more than a nice place. The nice places are great. You ever been to a golf course? They're awesome. Praise the Lord. Nice places proclaim God's glory too. But there's a specific purpose here, right? And let's be clear, that land is not this building, not the church. The people are the church. So the investment that God is doing is for the building up of the people. That sounds like what we just read, doesn't it? So having said that, the reason I'm telling you this story is, what does the spirit of prophecy do? It doesn't titillate our feelings. It doesn't make us feel special. It doesn't tell you whether or not you should take the job. It doesn't tell you whether or not you should move to Barbados, because that's what everybody wants, right? Lord, give me a prophecy so I know what to do. That he doesn't usually talk that way. Instead, he speaks so that when it happens, you go, that's him, right? Or he returns you back to the covenant so that you don't wander. So the spirit of prophecy often, look at the Old Testament, often pretty sharp. It was not like, oh, the Lord loves you. It was like, judgment is coming, stop sinning. That's usually what it was. Why? Come back to the covenant. Come back to the Lord. Come back to righteous living. Don't wander. You're wandering. Come to him. Be laser focused. This is what we're doing. That's prophecy, usually. You know, every once in a while, he's like, yeah, take the job. Because he's very kind to us. Very, very rare. Wouldn't it be nice, though?
Yes.
He doesn't work that way. Why? He wants you to have faith. Now, different sermon altogether. Now, see, we got like seven sermons here. That's why these things happen. So here's a confirmation. I see this, I'm like, it's the Lord. It's not just, oh, this is a great business deal. That makes sense. Okay, so that's how prophecy works. Let's keep reading. Let two or three speak, let the others weigh what is said. If revelation is made to them sitting there, they prophesy one by one, so that all learn and are encouraged. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. This is one of the reasons, too, I'm taking this little aside, because I don't want you in your car on the way home to be like, that was great, but what happened there? Let's have peace. Let's know how we're moving forward. God's not a God of confusion. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Now let me put an aside here. What is the context? The context is prophecy and weighing the prophecy. Because early in Corinthians, it says, when a woman comes up or a prophetess comes up to say something, they should do it this way. So Paul is not saying women should never speak. He's also not saying that, ladies, that you are substandard people or like second-class citizens. That's not what the Lord is saying. Why do you think the Lord has put this in the Bible? I'm going to speed it up for us. Here's why. Because he also has an order. He's a God, not of confusion, but of peace. So prophets speak, and they're speaking things that are supposed to return us to the covenant and help us to have direction in the church. So then we're going to weigh that word. In weighing that word, who should step forward to lead the families in that? The fathers. So that's what Paul's addressing. When the people come together to weigh the word of the direction of the church, now the husbands need to step up and weigh in. And this is where he doesn't want the ladies jumping in for stuff. Now also the context is, in synagogue worship, the men sat on one side, the women sat on the other side. And in Corinth, there's church historical evidence that in Corinth, the women were shouting across to the men about stuff. That's what Paul's like, this is shameful. Don't go home and ask. Don't, if you're here and you're like, I don't think Rex has good cologne. Whatever. That's no good. Now, that's a really silly thing to say, right? What if it's a great thing to say? Like, I have a scripture that I'm not sure if this goes with this, but you're shouting it out. It's not orderly. It's not peaceful. It's not direction. Okay? And I'm saying that because I don't want to, ladies, you have great things to say. I'm telling you right now, we would not be okay without wives who help us. Amen. The Lord puts us together to be in one in covenant, to represent Christ in his church, to live life. That is a fact, right? So this is not to silence women in the church. This is to say, let's have orderly worship. Also, let's step forward with authority in the families that this is where we're going. Does that make sense? Okay, that's important, okay? Because it's in here. So I'm not skipping it intentionally, right? All right, then he goes on. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Are you the only ones that it has reached? If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things that I'm writing to you are the command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. So that means for us, if like we ask for prayers a lot, don't we? But if we're jumping on each other, if we're putting each other down with prayers, if we're not building up the church, it's not from the Lord. That's not okay. We can't do that. We can prophesy. If somebody comes in and they're just going for it with a tongue and there's no interpretation, we're going to stop the meeting and say, hey, this is, we need to keep this. Let's make sure we have an interpretation. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been in meetings where somebody gives a tongue and the interpretation comes. And it's, because what is tongues? It's the overflow. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with groanings deeper than words, right? Which you say something to God. It's like, every time that I've seen it happen, it's like a prayer of the congregation that everybody goes, that. That's what we were trying to pray. But it's public. And now the whole body goes, okay, yeah. Because doesn't that sound like the Spirit of God? Okay, so praise God for those things. That's wonderful. We don't want to shut any of that down. We also don't want to sound crazy. And we want to come to the Lord, and we want to be faithful to what the Bible says. How do you weigh a prophetic word against the Bible? Because it's the Word of God. So if anybody ever brings, and this comes later, if anybody ever brings a word that's contrary, or if an angel appears, angel, whoa, and that angel says anything different than the Word of God, it's not the Lord. Because we know what he has said. We know who he is. And a lot of people have fallen into errors because they want it to be a certain way. Or they say words that tingle their ears. God even warns us in the Bible that there's a coming a day when people don't listen to the truth, but they fashion for themselves teachings. I just heard the other day a clip from a bishop. And this bishop was saying that, honestly, it actually was referencing this passage where the women keep silent. And it was saying we need a third testament that we need to rewrite now. Because it's not the word of God, it's the word about God, and we need to amend it. That's not okay. That's not okay. But here's the problem, is where the word speaks, we have to listen. Because it is the word of God, and it's clear. So we're going to weigh now what Rex said. How do we do that? Does it line up with Scripture? Does it build up the body? Does what Rex said cause us to come to the Lord and return to the covenant? Does it remind us of him? Does it sound like him? Does it give us direction that helps us? Is it something that, even if it seems weird, like here's bridging my dreams, that then when we see it, we know that's the Lord? Does it do all those things? So I'm going to open it up to us, right? What do you think? Let's weigh it together. So let's just real quick summary. No, you say, yeah, we love you. Yeah. And we know, also, we know Rex's earnestness, right? Yes. We know you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just like I hope if I said something weird in a sermon, you'd be like, hey, you said this weird thing. Let's talk about that, because we're all people, right? So Rex doesn't have to go out. You know, let's talk together. Let's weigh it. Okay? Here, summarizing. The Lord spoke. I liked the part where the sermon wasn't even that particularly memorable. Yeah. The Lord spoke to you. And in speaking to you, you had a vision of a map, like a weather map on television. So correct me if I'm wrong. And a blue dot kind of emerges, comes up, a blue, like on the weather map, over the vicinity of the building of where New Covenant is. And the Lord showed you that expanding. And expands all over, and then other cities start popping up. And you mentioned the spark of revival that's starting here, and that the Lord's using the church to do that. And so then an admonishment too, have unity. Don't be complicit with things. Repent, stay faithful. What was any other admonishments? I can't remember. Anybody or Rex? I think those were the main ones at the end. Hold fast. Unity among churches. Yeah, not a spirit of arrogance. As was specifically, I think, was the words, right? Repenting of a spirit of arrogance for other, that the Lord's doing in other churches that were better or something like that. And humble yourselves and pray. And then, yeah, and then reading from that passage too. If my people would turn to me and humble themselves, and I'll forgive their transgressions. Yeah. Okay, so that's the word. That was what was said. Let's weigh it together. Yes, sir.
But the whole fruit of the vegetable isn't up there. But you know that it's alive because when you planted it, you didn't have that little sprout. Rex's word today talks about a harvest. But we've already seen some of the sprouts. We know it's alive, I believe.
Yeah.
That that an indication of its life and authenticity is that we've seen some of the sprouts already. When this word was given, since that time, the Lord planted out from us different.
Yes.
There was the spreading of, now, Rex said that the fruit of this is going to be a grand revival. And so we look forward to that.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, what we've heard, we already have seen some indications that it's not just a food fruit.
Yes.
This it's got life to it. It's got substance to it.
Yeah. Yeah, amen to that.
So I think that that's how I read it.
Amen. Amen. So can I grab that mic from you? Do you mind? So Jerry told us that sprouts that come up, seeds that come up have a sprout, and that's one of the ways that you know that that's alive, even if you haven't seen the full fruit. And that there is sprouts that have come from New Covenant over the years, churches planted, coming to repentance, preaching the gospel kind of things, that show there's alive. So we might not be seeing the full weather map yet, but to say yes and amen that there's something coming. That's good. All right, I have the microphone here. Here's why. There's church members who are at home sick watching. They can't hear you. So it just seems like I'm nodding and listening. No, Jerry, you did great. But I'm like this, and they're at home like, what did he say? And I have no idea. Our live stream, by the way, goes out to basically to church members so they can hear. So I'm going to ask you if you say something to talk in the microphone, because then they can engage with us so that they're not, then everybody knows what's being said. Does that make sense? Otherwise, I'm going to have a lot of meetings this week. All right. Yeah, okay. So let me ask this question too. Mike, I'll come to you in 1 second. What, just from a biblical standpoint, does what Rex brought us sound biblical? Is there any challenge to say, like, there's something, I'm concerned about this? If so, speak up. Yeah. Yeah. So fundamentally, Michael is saying, for those of you at home, that it's fundamentally about the gospel going forward. Yeah. Amen. Amen to that. Did you want to say something? Please.
Primarily, I just have to give testimony to the Lord, because He has been stirring in my heart for some time, and you hear in my voice the emotion. Here's what strikes me, is God's faithfulness. Some of the men heard me say, make a comment this weekend about things that I've heard or that the Lord has shared, things that I've seen in Scripture. And my response is, who am I? Why would I be shown these things?
Yeah.
Stuff that's over my pay grade, right? Yeah. But who's doing the showing? It's the Lord. And it is deeply, firmly rooted in Scripture. I'll just share one very brief thing, and that is the Lord who spoke to Adam and said, the day that you eat of that tree, you will die. We think of that as, you touch this thing, I'm going to get you, like God's after you. We need to re-understand that to be, here is God, the fount and only source of life. I hope I don't go too far to be able to say, if we paraphrase and it says, if you turn from me, the only certainty is death.
That's right.
And yet the Lord walked this earth in redemptive hope. Mm-hmm. So I bear witness with the broad sweep of what was brought. And I know that it's in perfect keeping with the character of God to bring a mental image. You know, we see that through the prophets. The only hesitation that I would have, and I'm not contradicting, but to say, and this is it, it's us, that's where I have pause. And I just say, Well, Lord, if that's you, I think our response has to be like Mary, be it unto me as you have spoken. But I can't build myself and the things that I do around an expectation that he's going to, because I will misinterpret and misguide and warp what he's really trying to say, I fear. That would be my caution. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there any Bible verses? Is there any Bible? Yeah, please.
I would like to say something.
Jump in.
Kind of to that, as, of course, someone who clearly doesn't come here on those Sundays is visiting, but what you were just saying was making me think of the passage in Esther, where Mordecai, I think is her uncle's name, she's having this crisis of faith where she's thinking, like, how can I work up the courage to be who God called me? And there's this moment, I believe, that Mordecai steps in and says, if you don't rise up to this occasion, God will find someone else. But oh, to be the person who God uses. And so that's what comes to mind for me with regard to these prophetic teachings about, like, how God could use me or the people I'm involved with or the church or whatnot. Like, God is going to work things out in all ways for his own good.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to be in the
Amen. Yeah, amen for that. Yeah, because even, and thinking too of, amen to that, that's good. Even thinking of Elijah, who's like, it's nothing's working, it's not going, and the Lord's like, no, I have a remnant of people you don't even know about, who have not bowed the knee to Baal, that are faithful. The Lord, he is directing his people. Yeah, yeah, amen. Any other specifically Bible things? Bible thing? Yeah.
It ties in with other people to speak their truth as to how they're reacting to the prophet's word.
True.
And I wanted to speak a little bit about that and the relationship that Rex and I have developed, a special relationship over the last 4 years.
Yes, wonderful. So, let me pause you just for a second. What Michael's bringing up is, he said, I want to testify to the wisdom that Rex has. That's beautiful and lovely. I'm not trying to shoot you down. Let me also be clear. It matters, but it doesn't matter. And I'm saying that because it matters that we're in relationship together. Like, we don't all know Andrew so well, right? But he's allowed to speak and bring some Bible in. That's good. The relationship matters because we've known you for a long time from years before. Also friends now. Christian's vouching for you, so that's good. You know. But in this case, if somebody says, I have a word from the Lord, right? They could be the greatest guy ever. If an angel of light appears before you, and preaches something different. Why is that a problem? Because sometimes the devil disguises himself as an angel of light, right? So it's not the character of the person. Oh, they're so great, they must have heard from God. Hopefully they're respected enough that we can be like, yeah, that's right. But we have a duty from 1 Corinthians 14 to weigh what was said based on, does this sound like the Lord? Is this the Lord? So that means the person in our relationship with them doesn't really matter. It matters in that we're friends, but it doesn't matter in the sense of this thing was said. So we can be, I'm not against Rex, hear me out. We can be for Rex, but now we're weighing the word. And with that, we could be against the word. Because like Jeff just said, what if we heard something wrong? What if we were, somebody got it in an, you know? That happens sometimes. What if somebody does a tongue without an interpretation? Or praise something and it's like, that was not totally biblical. Like a new, brand new Christian comes in and says something like, wow, we got to change that a little bit. That doesn't mean we're against that brand new Christian who said something. It means that we want to be truthful and encouraged to be able to get there. So somebody busts in with a tongue and there's no interpretation, I'm going to have a word with them and be like, hey, come to me next time. It's not because I'm trying to control them. It's because I want to help us to not be disorderly. Does that make sense? And then, hey, let's try. But you know what I tell people a lot? If you feel like the Lord has said something to you, is there a scripture that you know that says the same thing? Then say that scripture. Because you know the Lord said that.
Right?
Right? Then you can stand on it for sure. Especially if you're speaking into somebody's life specifically. Yeah. David, sorry.
Yeah,
I'm running this over to you. You guys are probably going to have to come up from now on.
It just kind of came to me reading through Isaiah, and in 55 it talks about his ways are not our ways, or his ways are higher, seated in the heavens. There's an aspect where it seems like what Rex is saying could be true. At the same time, it doesn't always feel the way we may expect it to feel, mm-hmm. meaning there's an element where we can be, I know there's been other prophecies and other things talked about us being the wheel that is spinning things off. Well, sometimes as we are growing along the lines of what Jerry was saying, it hurts to be pruned off, or it hurts to see something happen. It can still be the Lord moving. It can still be the Lord growing. But if he says, hey, send these people and send them to Indianapolis, okay, well, that kind of hurts that a piece of our body is going there, or that kind of hurts that this is happening. So it's very possible that it is, but it also can be a lot of times not what we expect, or not what we, I would do it differently, Lord. Why can't we be the epicenter, and we can see this, and we can send this, and then we can see ourselves grow and get bigger and do this, as opposed to the Lord saying, no, I'm doing this, yeah. and I'm using you guys to do this.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so, amen to that. Coming back to Bible, yeah. right? What does this sound like? Does this correspond with the word? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Sarah has something too. Go ahead, and then we'll come to Sarah.
I just have two scriptures I'd like to share that have come to mind in the discussion in the prophetic word. And it's just the Great Commission, and then the follow-up to the Great Commission, where Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That to the end of the age to me speaks to, we are still part of this. Anyone who would debate that this was just for the original apostles, you know, that speaks to that. So, and then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive, talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When Christ came and he started his church, He had a plan, and it started in Jerusalem, and it spread from there. And I just see that mirrored in what Rex was saying. God has a plan. It's going to start somewhere, this revival, mm-hmm. and it will extend from there. So I see it lining up with how the Lord moves, how he has set things up, how he is structuring things, mm-hmm. Simply from what he did from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I meant that. Thank you. Here you go, Sarah.
Okay, and just kind of building on what she said, what it says about Jesus and the prophecy about Jesus, you know, that he, for unto us a child is born, Son is given, and it says, of the increase of his government mm-hmm. and peace, there will be no end.
Amen.
And the increase is what just really spoke to me, that this is what it said about Jesus,
yeah.
that his government would keep increasing and increasing. And that's what I was thinking when he was sharing that, was this is an increase, an increase, an increase of his government and his peace ruling over the earth. And then the Lord reminded me of what says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yeah.
So it belongs to him.
It says.
And we also know he's not coming back until every enemy is put under his feet. Mm-hmm. So those were some of the things that were brought to mind scripture-wise yeah. when he was sharing.
Amen. Amen. All right, so I'm going to ask.
I have criticism of my own.
Okay. Rex is going to add his own criticism to himself.
One of the things that bothered me about this was that The scripture says that anytime God is going to do something, he tells it. He lets it be known. And the scriptures are full of prophecies that many of them have not been fulfilled yet. But why isn't something so incredibly awesome spelled out in the scripture? And I still don't have an answer for that, but I'm hoping that one can apply the passage where Jesus says that the harvest is ripe, pray for the Lord, send laborers into the harvest, that this might be the last great harvest. Hmm. But it's not spelled out in the scripture that way, and I think it should have been if it's real.
Yeah,
I think it's real, but I don't know how to reconcile that with the absence of such an awesome thing in the scripture.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we do know that every knee will bow and every tongue confess
right.
that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I appreciate the Acts 1:9 coming up. The Lord is not, the word was not to us that the Lord is starting a new church from St. Louis. The word was not to us that the Lord is starting a new gospel. That would be wrong, right? If Rex had said a new thing the Lord says, you don't have to be baptized anymore, like something weird, that's not from him, right? The word was God's going to use the church to do something in the world, right? And the crux of it is the gospel, I think Michael had mentioned to us, the gospel going forth to everywhere. And then that sounds just like Acts 1:9. It also sounds like Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. And it sounds just like water covering the sea. And, you know, so we have lots of good scriptures there that says, yes, we're almost done out of time. So I'm going to move forward. So can we say yes? So I'm going to ask husbands, ladies, I'm not trying to exclude you, but in a governmental kind of way, right? Husbands, do you feel this is a word from the Lord? If you do, just raise your hand. Yeah, amen. I believe it's a word from the Lord too. Now, having said that, the application is important, right? So here's the application. We heard it. Humble yourselves. Repent. Come to him. Don't get haughty about other churches and stuff, right? Those are the kind of things we heard. If we're going to make the mega church of St. Louis, that was not the word. That was not the application of the word. Now, I hope we're bursting at the seams and we've planted 60 churches so far. 62, I think, in our history. I hope we continue that, right? I hope the Lord fill us. I don't know that this word is for us. What if it's for our great-great-great-grandchildren? But either way, what does it do to build up the body? Does it make you go, Lord, I want to be a part? Like Andrew told us, Lord, I want to... You're going to use somebody. Yeah, you're going to use somebody. Let it be me. Right? I think that's a good word. Let it, Lord, I want to be a part with you. And I'm ready to, I don't know what it's going to be. That's what Rex said. But I'll step into whatever you have. And it's going to look like discipleship, which means telling individual people about Jesus and then teaching them and helping them, walking with them. It's going to look like repentance. It's going to look like righteousness, peace, and joy. It's going to look like orderly worship, which is why we're doing this. Yeah? And it's going to look like being sober-minded, weighing things. What if the Lord is bringing us into 2,000 years from now, it's going to look like this. I hope, Lord, let it be now. Let it be our generation and not then. But if it is then, Lord, let us be faithful that the remnant continues so that when it happens, maybe God will, the spark's going to start however he starts it. And he's already doing it. That's an important thing too. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. We're at the ends of the earth already. We're not restarting Jerusalem. It's not a new gospel. And the Lord has his people. We're just one piece. We're not the people alone. That's important. Okay, so we can say yes and amen, this word is from the Lord. Also, our response then is something like this, I would say. Lord, let it be in our day. Lord, use us. Let us be faithful. We come to you. So let's pray. It's 12:08. Okay, we're going to pray. As a body, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord. Father, we've heard from you. Lord, we, like Jeff told us, Lord, like Mary said, be it unto us according to your will. All right, let's do it. Can we all stand? Let's pray together. I'm going to start us. Jerry, will you close us? And then just let's pray. Ready? Here we go. Father, thank you that you've called us to yourself. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, we know that you have given us the Bible. Lord, your word that guides us, moves us forward, informs us, directs us. Lord, your word is powerful. Lord, we know also that you speak to us today. And so hearing this word that Rex brought to us, Father, we pause to weigh it, to see if this is from you. And Lord, we believe this is from you. And so, Lord, in response to you, God, Lord, we ask you, do unto us according to your word. That, Father, we know we are not the end-all be-all. Lord, you have your people. But Lord, if you want to do something with us, if you're going to use us, if New Covenant is going to be a place where there's a spark, Lord, we just trust you. And we trust your gospel and your word and your King, Jesus on the throne, forever and ever, ever worthy to be praised. Lord, we will preach no other gospel. Lord, only Christ and him crucified. Lord, only Jesus, worthy of all praise. Lord, we will come to you through no other way but your gospel. Lord, we will have no other word but your Bible. Lord, we will disciple the nations with nothing other than Jesus Christ. Our boast is only in you, is only in your victory. It's only in your life. It's only in your death and resurrection. So, Lord, we come to you with humble hearts. Lord, use us according to your word, we pray. Thank you, Father. Anyone else like to pray?
Father, that we be the least of the least, that you use us mightily. Father, that we don't get big-headed when you start to use us. But see ourselves as just that spark. Just like we had that fire up on the mountaintop. Father, there were little sparks that went out. Father, use us individually as little sparks.
Yes, Lord.
Father, that we can see, that we can see a great fire burning around us. Father, that hearts will be turned back. Father, that it'll be like a wildfire, but it'd be a controlled burn. Father, that hearts will be burning alongside of us. Yes. Neighbors, friends, people that we haven't seen in days and ages. Father, that we hear of that spark going out. Mm. Father, that even though it's here in St. Louis, we'll hear about it in Indianapolis and beyond. Mm-hmm. Father, that you use us mightily, but Father, the least of the least.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Our great and glorious God, you are, and we worship you, and we recognize you as our Redeemer, Former Restorer, but in the current mission of spreading the gospel and bringing the word to the people and bringing them to you, the Lord of all, we ask your guidance and direction and wisdom in
Lord.
Efforts to go forth and spread this word and bring people
in
the body, into the church,
Lord.
One body,
Lord.
And establishing the church here on the earth.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, it's established.
Amen.
In a bigger way.
Amen. Amen, Michael. Amen.
God Almighty, you are the creator of all things. You created and fashioned the entire everything from a word. And you chose this earth upon which to plant a garden. Jerry brought us another word about a plant, a seed going in and springing up. And there's life in it. Lord, this is the nature of your character, that this is what you do. You bring life. You're the source of life. You're the only hope of life. And in the dead world, you have brought life and the power of resurrection to a people, to brush off, renew, and bear the image of your Christ. Lord, this is so glorious. And we're humbled. My prayer, Lord, is that you would renew our understanding that you are the owner of
Lord.
The earth. That it does indeed belong to you.
Yes.
That you are the gardener. Yes. Just like Mary, after your resurrection, she beheld you. She thought it was the gardener.
Mm.
Oh, in what measure is that true? Because you too, we
thank
are.
Thank you, Lord. You are.
You are the gardener, and you are tending to this earth.
Thank you.
And you will see that every tender shoot will come to bear its fruit.
Thank you.
And you will reap a harvest, and you will separate the wheat from the chaff.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus,
thank you,
you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Utterly faithful, you are, in all of these things. Be it unto us as you have spoken.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, you have heard our prayers. And so we say thank you that you still speak to us.
Yes, Lord.
That by your grace and love and faithfulness to your people, just in this small place, Lord, amongst all of your people across the earth, Lord, but you show your love to them in all kinds of ways. And Lord, we thank you for your demonstration of love to us, that you speak to us of what you have in your heart for us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to hear your word clearly and to follow your word, Lord. We want to bring glory to you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
We know that it is your kingdom. It is your purposes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your will that is all important.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And we just want to be a part of that eternal undertaking.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And so we give you thanks for speaking to us, Lord. Help us to be humble and receive what you have to say.
Yes, Lord.
Help us not to take it in a wrong way, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for how you helped us to listen and to concentrate on what you said to us, Lord. And Lord, speak to us individually so that we are directed in the direction that you want us to go.
Yes, Lord.
We know that your word brings life.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
We give you thanks and honor you, Lord, for your great goodness to yours that you brought to yourself.
Thank you, Lord.
We bless you in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Will you sing with me? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, you peoples here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you and keep you. He's with you. We're dismissed. Amen. Thank you, everybody.